Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Welcome to what? Are we on the fifth class of our Hebrew, of basic Hebrew Bible class? And this is Rishon Messianic Bible College. Wow. And I hope all the students are there. You can tell me who's logging in, Pastor Ben. But we are ready to teach our fifth class. I hope you all got your homework back. I celebrated and popped the cork of the bubbly. Well, it was sparkling apple cider. But still, I celebrated because I had 198 homework assignments. And then as of Tuesday afternoon, I had zero emails. I think I sent Pastor Ben a celebration email to let him know I was at zero. So I hope you all got your homework back. You guys did an excellent job. The letters. There's one thing that you guys seem to, everybody made the exact same mistake on Genesis 1. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz. On hashamayim, a lot of people wrote a kaf and a vav for the mem. I guess it looks like that when they're together, but that is one word. So we got to make sure that we put a mem there instead of a kaf and a vav. And I'm looking at it. It kind of does look that way. Okay, let's get started with prayer. In the Hebrew class, we used to sing the Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And then we say the Shema prayer, and we will get to that because I do want us to study and learn the Shema prayer. But I want you guys to, first of all, learn the Lord's Prayer. So here you go. Let's get started. The Lord's Prayer is this. Avanu Shabbat Shabbaim Yidchadesh Shemcha Tavo Mechutecha Yi'aseh Rotzanaka Be'aretz Ke'asher Ne'asah B'Shamayim Ten Lanu Hayom Lechem Hukenu U'Selag Lanu Et Ashmetenu Ke'asher Solechem Anachnu Le'asher Ashmelanu V'Yal Tevienu L'Demasa Ke'im Hatzilanu Min Chara Kilacha Hamamlecha V'Hagivura V'Hativ Eret Le'olame, le'olamim, amen. So let's get started in this study today. But first, I want you guys to look at the board, because what's on the board is what I want you to learn in Hebrew as part of the language. And this at the top is Atah. Yakol le'azorli. Okay? That's I'm a man. See, I say, Atah yakol le'azorli? Yes. Can you help me? Can you help me? Atah, you, for a man, yakol, can you, le'azorli, to help me. Okay? Azor is help. Li is me. Okay? Now, if it's a woman, yechola, at yechola le'azorli. If you're asking a woman, at yechola le'azorli, do not say ata yechol, because she'll say, I'm a woman, address me properly, because this language is male and female.
You need to back.
You need to.
Yeah, because it's got a glare. So
okay. Okay. How's that?
One, a little bit more.
Which way?
The same way, what you did.
Okay, that way?
There you go.
Okay. So now, so learn this sentence, because this is a very good thing if you're visiting Israel. Atah yakol le'azorli? Like, what do you want? Can you help me? And you can say, you're looking for something. Now, there's many ways to say I'm looking for something. Mekapes is really like, I name Mekapes, Tov Misada. That's what I use today. I am looking for what? A good restaurant, okay? I name Mekapes, Tov Misada. Okay, you're looking for a good restaurant. Atah yakol le'azorli? Ken, ma ata rotze. I name Mekapes, Tov Misada. Then, of course, they'll give you the directions. Tisi Yashar, Pikni Amina, across the street from whatever. They'll give you all of the instructions, but we'll learn all of that stuff too, okay? So, Atayu Kole Azurli, okay? And they make a pest what? You may not be looking for a restaurant. You may be looking for what? The restroom. We already know how to say that, right? Embatia, or you can say, okay. Are you still with us, Pastor Ben?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ane mekapes, misada, ane efo hambatia, efo hasharotim. Okay, so you can say, ane mekapes hasharotim, ane mekapes ambatia is another word for restaurant, but I taught you guys hasharotim. So, okay, so whatever you're looking for, you're looking for clothes, begadim. If you're in a store, I name Mekapesa Begadim. I'm looking for clothes. I want a chutzah, a shirt, or whatever. And so Mekapesa is I am looking for. Maybe you're looking, trying to find a Hakotel Hamaravi, the Western Wall. So you can say, I name Mekapesa. And so I'm looking for it, okay? So here you go. Azorli, write that down. I won't erase it right now, but I will later if I have to, okay? Now, how are you guys doing? I hope everyone is blessed today.
Someone asked if you could do the prayer slowly.
What prayer?
The opening prayer?
The Shema prayer?
Is that the Shema prayer?
No, the Lord's Prayer.
Yes, the Lord's Prayer.
Ask her if she has a copy of it. Tell me if you guys have a copy.
I sent them out.
Okay. This is the site I want you to go on. It's called Hebrew for Christians. Then click on prayers. And then you'll look on the Lord's Prayer, okay? Because it's called Hebrew for Christians. You click on prayers, and it'll give you all the prayers, a lot of different, you know, prayers that they have. But click on the Lord's Prayer, and it will read through it slowly for you, and you can learn how to pronounce each and every word, okay? All right. So last week we talked about the nechud and the degeshes that go inside of the letters to give you the vowels. I want you to learn those and continue to use those so that you know where they're at, and it'll teach you how to pronounce words. Okay, so... even on the front of our book is the Aleph Bet. It has the Nechud Aleph, and then the E. It puts the Degesh in the middle to make that Bet instead of Vet. So Aleph Bet, okay? So learn the Nechud and the Degeshes. And learn this phrase. Now, we're going to have a test pretty soon. But I'm going to give you a week or so to study for the test. But we have to get through the appointed times before we can get to that test. Okay, so let's learn the next appointed time. The last time we were talking, we talked about Passover. And Passover, if you watched the message last night, Passover was something that was planned by God, not just at the Exodus, but also at the flood, because we know that the flood, the boat landed on Mount Ararat on the 17th of Nisan, the same day Jesus resurrected. So God has always been talking about the Passover. But we talked about the Passover in three. We have to talk about the Passover in three things. The Passover, the 14th of Nisan, they are to practice doing the sacrifice of the lamb. So for the 2,000 years or whatever it's going to take before Jesus actually comes, he says, this is a holy convocation. This is a mikra. This is a, I want you to dress rehearse through this until the actual event happens. Okay, so they dress rehearsal the Passover. So every year they would kill the Passover at twilight. Okay, so they knew on the 14th of Nisan, this is Passover. We have to kill the Passover lamb on twilight. And they practiced that until the time that Christ came. Okay, now after that was called the Feast of First Fruit. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is for 7 days, but the Feast of First Fruit is a one-day event. And so if you can find on your book, in your book, chapter 24, right here, I want to go over the Feast of First Fruit before we talk about Pentecost. And when we get to Pentecost, I want you to not get too excited, because I'm telling you, it's going to sound like we're getting raptured very soon. Okay? So I have no confidence that we're going to finish this 2-year course. I'm just letting you know that, okay? So let's do what I say. Let's grow before we go and continue to learn the word. But here it is. If you're on page 24, it says, what is the day after Shabbat? Okay, the day after Shabbat is called Yom Rishon, which is Sunday. So Shabbat starts Friday evening to Saturday evening. Then when evening comes, it becomes Yom Rishon, which is the beginning of the first day. Okay, the days are evening to evening. Okay, I don't care what the people found on the Enoch calendar that it starts in the morning. It does not. In Genesis, God gives you the thing. He says, there was evening, and there was morning, and that was the first day. There was evening. Okay, so from evening to evening is going to start each day. Now, let's talk about first fruit. Go up to the top of this page on page 24. And it says the first fruit is the third of the 8 holy appointed times. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6 through 11. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. Even 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall have no customary work, but you shall offer... But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. That is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unleavened because the sacrifice that is being crucified on the cross is a unleavened bread. The bread of life is unleavened, meaning it has no sin in it, okay? Okay, and it says, the 7 days shall be a holy convocation, and you shall have no customary work. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land I give you, reap its harvest. Then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. When can the priest wave the first fruit offering? On the day after the Sabbath. When is the day after Sabbath? Sunday. So now, who's the first fruit? Yeshua is the first fruit. He's the first fruit of what harvest? Everybody that's going to be resurrected out of the grave. The first fruit is the first person that comes out of the grave. This is the first of the harvest that the rest of the world is about to experience. And we should be excited about that, because Jesus Christ resurrected with a body that could hug, that could eat, that could walk around. So it's not some floating spirit resurrection, you know, whoo, you know, like Bugs Bunny or something. Like, you're not on a cloud, like you're gonna get a real actual body, but that body can never die. And some of the other things that Jesus did in his resurrected body is that one moment he was here and one in the next moment he was there. So I like that. Maybe I won't need a car. Then one time the door was closed, and that bothered him not even a little. He said, and Jesus still entered the room, and they hadn't even opened the door. So the resurrected body is a glorified body that God has prepared for us, but it is at the cost of someone dying, then resurrecting, so he could produce the rest of the harvest of resurrected souls. Okay? So let's continue on. So we have to remember it's Sunday. The Feast of First Fruit is always going to be on Sunday. Okay? Why? Because the first fruit came out of the ground on Sunday, or the first day, or what we call the eighth day, okay? Or the first day or the eighth day is the same. And they waved the offering before the Lord, and the Lord approved of the offering of Jesus Christ as being the first fruit. And because he approved of it, he said, okay, now bring in the rest of the harvest. And then, you know, Matthew 27:50, the dead in Christ that had died in the Old Testament, the tombs broke open, and that was the first barley harvest that came up out of the ground. And now that was the first fruit. OK, but so every Sunday when we go to church every Sunday, we're not just going for Sunday. OK, now the Vatican doesn't exist now. You understand? So the Vatican never invented Sunday service. Sunday service is the Feast of First Fruit in the New Testament. You understand? We're waving the first fruit office, the first fruit offering every Yom Rishon. We are celebrating our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the first fruit of the harvest. Now, let me see where I finished that. Okay. Jesus was the first fruit of all the harvests of the earth. Okay. Mark 16:6. Jesus said to them, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven means what? Sin. The leaven in the bread represents sin. Offering our sin had to be without, the offering for our sin had to be without sin. Okay? No leaven in the bread, that was broken for us. That is why Jesus is called the bread of life. Okay? It says, on the first fruit is to offer, it has to be weighed before the Lord and accepted as being worthy of a first fruit offering. Of course, Jesus was worthy. Jesus was accepted because he met the criteria for a sin offering. A sinless lamb without defect. Okay? Pilate came out and declared him without defect because Pilate said, I find no fault in this man, okay? So there was no sin in Jesus Christ. He was a perfect sacrificial lamb. First week, okay, now we move on to the Feast of Weeks. And we call it, in Hebrew, it's Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, okay? And why is it called the Feast of Weeks? Because they're going to count off 7 times 7, and then on the 50th day is going to be Pentecost. Okay? Now, this Pentecost did not start in the book of Acts. Pentecost started when they came out of Egypt. And when they came out of Egypt, God was counting, because they didn't know. But God was counting 50 days from the time they left Egypt. He was counting because he knew that he was going to offer himself as a marriage to the Hebrew people. Okay? This is just a little tidbit. This is a commercial right now. Listen. The word Passover and the word Hebrew are synonymous with God's plan. God wanted to come into the world and be a sacrificial lamb for us. Okay? So how is he going to do that? He's going to have to pass over from where he is into the earth. What does Hebrew mean? It means to cross over. Okay? So he's going to have to use a people that that's called crossover, and he's going to do it on the Passover, and the God in heaven is going to cross over from heaven into the material world through a body, okay, by a virgin. And then now God is planted upon the earth. But now, after they came out of Egypt, listen, God started counting off 50 days because a marriage is going to take place. God is going to marry Israel. Let's look at this. Okay, go to page 25. At the top of your page, it should say, count 50 days. Is everybody there? I love this. It says, count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling two loaves of a tenth of an ephod. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. Okay? They are the first fruit to the Lord. Okay? Now, why these two loaves? Let's talk about it. Two loaves, two wave loaves with leaven represents two types of people that are going to be a part of this harvest. There will be Jews that are part of the church, and there will be Gentiles that are part of the church. Have they sinned? Yes. But are they forgiven? Yes. By Jesus Christ, who is the unleavened bread. Okay? So we're going to represent this by offering two loaves. And it says this, look, in ancient Hebrew, Omer is primarily means the first of many. Okay? So every year they have to practice this. And if you'll look, after Passover, after Shabbat, the Jews every year count the Omer. And what does Omer mean? The first of. Who was the first of? Jesus Christ was the first fruit. So now they're going to count 50 days, and they're going to count all the way up to the 50th day. And it says, the count begins with the feast of first fruit, which is Jesus Christ. Now we will count off 50 days to the feast of weeks, Pentecost, okay, or Shavuot. Where does the feast day have its roots? On the 50th day after leaving Egypt, God was counting the Omer to the 50th day to marry the Hebrew people. So we go to Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, and this is what happened. He said, in the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the day they came to the wilderness of Sinai, Moses proposed to Israel for God. And all the people said, yes, we will. Okay, so Moses went to the people and said, these are the commandments that God is giving you. Okay, will you accept this covenant? And all the people said, we will. Okay, so God said, so now Moses goes back and he begins to set up the marriage. Now in 19 verse 7 through 8, it says, so Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That's like I do in marriage, right? So Moses brought back the word of the people to the Lord. And now the wedding date is set. And in Exodus 19, verse 10 and 11, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Wow. So now the wedding date is done, and the husband of Israel is about to show up at the wedding. This is where we have a problem. Because, let's read this. Go to Exodus chapter 19. Okay. I need you to go to your Bible now, because We're going to do a little study here. Because this was no quiet wedding. Matter of fact, talking about the bride was trembling on this day, like, what kind of marriage was that, you know? But God wanted to come down and show the people who he was, okay? Now, we just read 10 and 11, so let's start at 12. Okay? And it says, God says, put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not go up the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Not a hand is to be laid on him. It says, whether a man or an animal, he shall not be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast, that's like a Rosh Hashanah last trumpet. Only when the ram horn sounds a long blast may they go up to the mountain. Wow. Listen, you guys, okay? Because this is people going, okay, Pentecost rapture. Okay, we'll see. We have to look at this. And I love Brother Fletcher today because I don't know if I agree with the whole thing that he did today on his presentation, but his date for a second Passover, because we couldn't have celebrated the first Passover because of the way the calendar worked out. So he says that the second Passover, he's saying, oh, there's going to be a rapture June 21st, which is the last day of the spring. And he calculated, you can look at it, Steve Fletcher. I like the guy. We can talk, even though I don't agree with everything everyone says. But let's go. Let's continue. Okay, verse 14. It says, after Moses had gone down. Now, listen. Listen to this now. Only when the ram horn sounds a long blast may they go up to the mountain. Because they're going to get married. But the marriage is going to take place after what? A trumpet blast. Listen, after Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, prepare yourself for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. And it says, on the morning of the third day. We're on the morning of the third day, you guys. On the morning of the third day. Was thunder and lightning and a thick cloud over the mountain and a very long trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke, but the Lord descended in a fire. The smoke billowed up from it like a smoke from the furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of the mountain and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up. And the Lord said to him, go down and warn the people that they do not force their way to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Okay. Now, I'm showing you a marriage, okay? Let me make sure I don't have to keep continuing. Okay, let's continue. Okay. Verse 22. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them. Moses said to the people, the people cannot come up the mountain because you yourself warned us. Put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy. So Moses had limits around the mountain. The people couldn't come up if they wanted to. And it says, the Lord replied, go down and bring Aaron up with you. But the priest and the people must not force their way through or come up to the mountain, or he will break out against them. So Moses went down to the mountain and told them. Okay, now, so this was the wedding day. And it says, when on this wedding day, it says the people trembled at this wedding day. Because you got thunder and lightning and you got fire billowing and smoke and you're hearing the voice of God. And they said the people trembled with fear. Was nobody was going up that mountain, okay? This was a wedding day. You understand? On this day, 50 days after Passover, after the Feast of First Fruit, Israel married God in a covenant, okay? Now, there's some incredible things about this, but now we get to the book of Acts, and it's after Passover. So let's go to the book of Acts in chapter 2. Now, I know what you guys are saying, you know, we don't learn that much Hebrew, but we're learning the Bible. Let me tell you something. You can know all the Hebrew in the world. If you don't know the Bible, it doesn't do you any good. So the purpose of God teaching me the Bible was not for me. Hebrew was not for me to learn Hebrew. He didn't want me to lemed Ivrit so I can know Hebrew. He wanted me to learn Hebrew so I can learn the Bible. So I'm trying to teach you the Bible as we're learning the language, okay? Let's go on Acts. Now, here we go in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 2, okay? And now it says, now what happened? I love what happened here. It's like Jesus Christ is there, and then the angels appear, and then Jesus Christ, they say, hung out with them for 40 days, and he said, now look, I want you guys to go, you know, to Jerusalem, and I want you to stay there. And he said, and the gift that I told you about that God's going to give you is going to come down, and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So he says, wait on it there, you know. So they go, and they're waiting for 10 more days because Jesus left on the 40th day, okay? And it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. This is the same day that Israel married God, there on the 50th day after Passover. Suddenly, a sound like that blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, okay, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. Now, there are people there from all over the world. Jews from all over the world, and they're in Jerusalem. Why? Deuteronomy 16:16. All you males shall appear to me three times a year. When? At Passover, okay? At the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, right here, and at Tabernacles. So all these people are there. Why? Because they're obeying Torah. They're all there, different nations of Jews. But remember, they're all Jewish. When 3,000 of them get saved, it's not 3,000 Gentiles come to Christ. 3,000 Jews come to Christ as they hear their native language being spoken, okay, by people who aren't from where they are, from the countries that they live in. But they've all come and returned to Jerusalem, okay, because they're keeping Torah, okay? Now, they get filled with the Holy Spirit, the fire comes down, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? Where's the trumpet? Okay? There was no trumpet, okay? But Christ came down, the fire came down, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But when Israel got married, there was a loud trumpet blast. Okay, so remember the mountain experience that the Hebrews experienced? At Mount Sinai? Well, God says that our marriage is going to be just like theirs. And that's found in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. So I'm going to give you guys time to go there. Hebrews chapter 12. When everybody there say amen. Okay. Now, if you're at Hebrews chapter 12, listen, because we're going to begin reading.
Sherry Howard's there.
Sherry Howard's there? Okay. I love Sherry. Good homework, Sherry.
Sam is there.
Oh, yeah? Wow, everybody's here. Okay, here we go. We are in Hebrews chapter 12, and we are verse 18. And it says to, and now he's talking to the people of God. He's talking to the church. He said, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness and gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further words be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. It says, if even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. You hear how their marriage was? Okay, God says, that's not how our marriage is going to be, okay? Watch this. Let's go here. Verse 22. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion. That's where Jesus is. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You hear that? So God is saying the church is going to have this same mountain experience, but it's going to be a Mount Zion. And it's not going to be bellows of smoke and fear of trembling. It says it's going to be an assembly of angels in joyful sound. It's going to be a time that we are going to come together. All who have been made righteous by Jesus Christ are going to come together to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, in God's house. Okay? Now, it says we're going to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Remember in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, when the tombs broke open and the dead in Christ raised out of the tombs, and it says they went into the heavenly city. This is the city they went to. They didn't go into a physical city. They went into heaven because they had been waiting for the death of the Messiah so that they no longer had to live in paradise. Once the Messiah died, now they were freed from paradise, and now they can go into heaven. And remember who had to go down and announce it to them? Jesus, the one who ascended, first descended into the lower parts of the heaven, took back to the keys of life, and announced to the righteous, it is done, let's go. And it says their tombs broke open, they received their resurrected bodies, and they ascended to the heavenly city, to Jerusalem, to Zion in heaven. The same way that Israel got married in Exodus chapter 19. Tell the people to come to the edge of the mountain, but don't touch the mountain, because if you touch it, you could die. Okay, and don't try to come up the mountain. Okay, and then he comes down, and it's so loud and thunder that the people are in fear, but they're marrying God. God says, our wedding will not be like that. Our wedding is going to be, when you come to the city, you'll have a joyful sound of thousands upon thousands of angels. And so this is all happening when? Pentecost. And I know some people say, oh, well, Pentecost passed. I've been saying it since the beginning. We've been a month behind since that equinox, okay? We've been a month behind since then. So we're looking at June being the last day, June 21st being the last day of spring, is being the last day of spring. June 20th, June 21st is the last day of spring. I was studying this and I said, boy, wouldn't that be awesome that we actually have a spring wedding during the Feast of Wheat, because we'll be in the wheat season at that time, and knowing that Enoch was also went to heaven on this very same day. Wow! Which is also his birthday, which was also the church's birthday. So I'm like, I'm in the house, and, you know, God's like, settle down there, young chipper, you know. Finish the study. You got to go teach the class today. But I'm thinking to myself, wow, Lord, this is a perfect rapture scenario and time and date. And if you should do this, I pray, Father God, that your people are ready. Okay, that is Pentecost. What is the next feast day that we're going to study? And I'm not going to study it today. The next feast day that we're going to study is going to be Rosh Hashanah. Okay? So we're going to study Rosh Hashanah. What does Pentecost mean anyway? It said that, and the day of Pentecost had fully come. That's a Greek word for 50, right? So basically it's like, I don't know why they didn't just write when the day of when the 50th day had came, you know, but they were writing some words using Greek. So they said, in the day of Pentecost. So the 50th day came and they had a wedding. Okay, now, the next feast day that we're going to study is going to be Rosh Hashanah, the wedding day of Israel and the tribulation saints. Okay? And I used to think that Rosh Hashanah was the Gentiles' wedding day. But as I read Revelation chapter 14, and God explained to me and showed me the feast days belong to me, and I'm going to fulfill them the same way I fulfilled the first three. Now, how did God fulfill the first three? This is part of your Hebrew knowledge. He had Passover. What's after Passover? Feast of First Fruits. Okay, did he have to wait any time? No, it was the day after the Sabbath. They celebrated Feast of First Fruit. Okay, then they celebrated Feast of Unleavened Bread, but they started counting the 50 days after that. Okay, so from the Feast of First Fruit, they counted 50 days, and then the church married God or engaged to God or whatever you want to call it on exactly 50 days after. Okay, now, if the church is the Rosh Hashanah trumpet, the next thing that comes after Rosh Hashanah is Yom Kippur, which is only 10 days away. So, but that would mean that God would have to wait 7 full years before he could celebrate Yom Kippur after Rosh Hashanah. And that's not the fulfillment. Then, of course, 5 days later is Tabernacles. So understand the structure of the feast days. When Rosh Hashanah hits, okay, 10 days later, you have Yom Kippur. 5 days later, you have the Feast of Tabernacles. What happens at Tabernacle? That's the last resurrection and rapture that happens, and that's the last of the harvest. So then we will be celebrating everybody who has been resurrected to life will be celebrating on the Feast of Tabernacles at the end of the tribulation. Both Old Testament, okay, or Old Testament saints, the church, and the tribulation saints and Israel will all be celebrating on the Feast of Tabernacles at the end of the tribulation. The second resurrection won't happen for at least 1,000 years. And those people that get resurrected from Hades, from the sea, all of the dead. They come up to God at the white throne judgment. And then they stand before God and he declares to them their judgment for not accepting Christ. Okay? So you have to understand the feast days to understand the plan of God. And then that's when I said, oh, this is not going to be a rapture out of rapture. Then people were like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. There's going to be a rapture. I don't believe in a Rosh Hashanah rapture. So, but I have to give you scripture why I don't. The next thing we're going to study is the Rosh Hashanah rapture. Okay? All right. Let's go back over here to the board and learn a little bit more Hebrew. And we will be done. I'm going to use this because I don't see my black one. I think I set it somewhere. Okay. There it is. Now, okay. Did you write this down? Please say yes. Atayah Kol, can you, Atayah Kol, Leazor Li?
Sherry said yes.
All right. Did you write this down? Ane Mechapes, what? Tov Misada? What are you looking for? Looking for,
Felicia said no.
You didn't write that down?
Oh, Felicia said yes.
Okay, Felicia wrote it down. Okay, because all of these words that I'm teaching you, because you learned last week how to, all the questions, what, where, when, why, how, which. So as we learn more words, we're going to put all these words together, and then we're going to form our own sentences. And we're going to write them in with regular letters. And we're going to write them with Hebrew letters.
Pastor Sandy, Marlene said the Rosh Hashanah is only for the Jews.
Thank you. Well, tribulation saints get to go too. But you're absolutely right. It is a Jewish thing. She's absolutely right. But see, there'll be some Gentiles in the tribulation that are going to stick to the testimony of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus comes down with the sickle, he's just taking up the righteous. All right, but the 144,000 get to go first, and they're all 144,000 Jews. So if you're Jehovah's Witness, you can't be one of the 144,000 because you have to be Jewish and you have to be of the 12 tribes. All right. Amen. So, Misada, Tov Misada. You guys know Tov is good. Tov Misada. Ane Mechapes, Tov Misada. Okay. So write these letters down. Look at your Degeshes. We're going to send you some things to some homework. But the thing I want you guys to do is, I hope you all have the Lord's Prayer. This is a long assignment, so I'm not going to. You have to write out the whole Hebrew, in Hebrew, the Lord's Prayer. It's going to take you some time. If you don't get it in before next Wednesday, you know, let me know. It's getting a little complicated. Now, what do I want to look for? Most of you have already perfected the letters. So now when I see your letters, they should look perfect, okay? I should be able to read what you write. When you write the Lord's Prayer in Hebrew, I should be able to read it, and there shouldn't be any mistakes. Now, if you see this letter, oh, this is what everybody made a mistake on. Watch this. Hashamayim, right? Watch this. When they got to the word mayim, which looks like this, you know what they wrote? Vav kof. See that? It kind of looks like it, and I can see where you made the mistake. But Hashamayim, see, they should have connected that. But it looked like it. So they wrote, oh, okay, Kaf and Vav. That's not it. Okay? So when you get to the Mem, make sure you write the Mem and not a Kaf and a Vav. Okay? Remember on Nun, when you write the N in Hebrew, it should be like this. Not like this, okay? Because if you write it like that, I'm not going to know the difference between your bet and your noon, okay? When you write a cough, It should be rounded off like a backwards C. It shouldn't be square. And what denotes this letter? See this? If you wrote this and you wrote like that, I would think it's a bet because of that that's hanging off, okay? So remember, the letters have to look like the letters for people to write it. Because as I gave you an example last time, okay, and I said, Pastor Ben says, please write up there whether you want $100 or not. And I didn't know how to write proper English words, and I read, and I went, Pastor Ben would go, oh, what is that? I asked you if you want $100. Oh, you're in, the line's too long. You meant no. Okay? And this is what happens with Hebrew letters, okay? So one of the young ladies, she wrote God is able to happen. She wrote, because she wrote the letters wrong. So it looked like, instead of Bereshit bara Elohim, it looked like not in the beginning God created. It looked like God is able to happen. Just because the letters were wrong. So when you write the letters as you're writing the Hebrew prayer, write the letters properly and take your time. Maybe write one sentence today, the next sentence tomorrow, but take your time, make it look neat, okay? Because neatness counts. And that'll be your homework for this week. And I also want you guys to study Rosh Hashanah. I want you to study this. I want you to have already read it before you come back. Because Rosh Hashanah is a very important time, okay? This is the end of the tribulation. And then we're going to learn about what those 10 days, what happens between those 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And we're going to learn how Moses first set up Rosh Hashanah for us, okay? So, let's pray out. My beautiful people. Is that too much homework? Okay. All right. Now, let's pray out. This is the prayer. And the Lord says to Moses, bless my people and say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarekha Adonai v'yishmarekha. Yair Adonai panavilecha v'chunecha. Yi'aseh Adonai panavilecha v'yasim lecha shalom. And to all of you, I say shalom, and I will see you next week. All right.